Herzlich willkommen zu Podcast Brudi. Mein Name ist Joscha069. Ich sitze da oben auf dem Ginnheimer Spargel, schaue runter auf die bunten Kreativkreise in Frankfurt und sage euch, die nächsten Jahre werden eine traumhafte Zeit für die Hip-Hop-Community. Im Podcast stelle ich euch die unterschiedlichsten Schlüsselfiguren der Branche vor, die die Szene nachhaltig prägen und fördern, um euch einen Einblick hinter die aktuelle Bewegung zu geben. Viel Spaß damit.
Podcast Brudi.
I represent the culture. Not only that, I'm representing the city too. I love Frankfurt, man. Everybody know I love Frankfurt, man. Shout out to Nordweststadt, man. That's my stomping grounds, nice. for real.
Peter Manz verlässt seine Heimatstadt Boston und wird in Frankfurt der beste Tackler der German Football League. Parallel dazu entdeckt Uli Zeller sein Talent als Rapper und spannt ihn als Zugpferd für das Label Oyo ein. Mittlerweile performt Supermans auf Events wie dem Blend Festival, bei Loft Arts oder dem Random Circles Battle. Darüber hinaus gründet er zusammen mit dem Produzenten Thelonious Coltrane die Gruppe Under Gods. Die aktuelle Single der beiden nennt sich Cognac und ist über das Label Sichtexort released. In Podcast Brudi Nummer 9 sprechen wir über seine Herausforderung, als Mensch und Musiker in einer fremden Stadt Fuß zu fassen. Viel Spaß damit.
Podcast Brudi.
Herzlich willkommen, Podcast Brudi Nummer 9. Heute mit einer Hälfte der Undergods, Peter Manz.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. What's going on with you, brother? Finally,
still a little bit sick, finally, but you know, I'm drinking my tea, my ginger tea.
Yeah, I seen the...
But besides that...
The gym container.
yeah, indeed.
Yeah, for sure.
Besides that, everything is fine. And how about you?
I'm chilling. Getting used to the cold again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everything is lovely. Can't complain.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm happy that we finally managed to find time.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a project coming up.
Yeah.
That we can talk about a little bit.
Yeah.
There's no release day so far, the Under Gods project.
Nah, we just got an area in which we're aiming for, you know,
all right,
like a month. So
yeah, what about the your better half? Where's this guy?
Coltrane,
where is he?
Coltrane's always out and about, man. You know, Coltrane does what he does, man. But that's what makes Coltrane special. So that's what makes Coltrane, man. So we just leave it at that.
All right.
Yeah.
How did you get to know Coltrane?
Through an event at this club that the crew had. What was that? Oye. I think it was Club Oye. And he was a beat producer signed up to play for that event. So, yeah, I didn't meet him until probably after I performed because I had a slot there to perform too. But I seen him through, you know, just weave his way through the crowd. And then get to the front. And then after that, like, he just was, like, looking like, I don't know. Like, he had that face. Like, you know, like, and I just, after we talked right away. And then he gave me his number. Coltrane must have had, like, I don't know, like, 4 or 5 words down in English at that time, too. So it was like a really... Phone, number. Yeah, I call you. Yeah. You call, like, one of those conversations, you know? And then, like, I took some time, like, just to hit him back or even just to check out, like, the links he sent me for, like, the beats. I think I was just, like, working on some other shit. And then I just left it alone. And then I finally got a hold or I just got some time to actually sit down and listen to what he had. And then I think I fucking called the Ooster, you know, Uli. And then I was like, yo, this dude Coltrane is crazy, bro. And he was like, yeah, and then I hit him up. And then I think I was at his house like a week later.
All right.
Then he gave me like 100 beats or something like that. Like 138 or 168, whatever he would say. I don't know.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
I still got that USB stick for sure. Definitely on my table.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We already jumped right into your relationship.
Yeah.
We will find the time that he tells his part of the story.
Yeah.
But for now, would you like to introduce yourself a little bit? What's your background? Where did you grow up?
What's my background? Well, my name is Peter Manns. That's my real name, Peter Manns. I'm from Massachusetts. I moved around a lot, until the age 8. So I didn't have a home base. Like I did, but I was moving around throughout different places, Falmouth, Massachusetts, Brockton, Massachusetts, Oakdale, Massachusetts, Onset, Massachusetts, Easton, Massachusetts.
I have no idea where those places are.
The crazy thing is, man, it sounds like it's far away, man, and the shit is all in an hour, little more maybe of each other. You know, nothing's really too much of a drive. And then fucking, can I say fucking?
No,
just beep, joking. Beep. So I don't know, to fucking 8 years old or something like that. We settled in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So, I would say Cambridge, Massachusetts is my home because I was there pretty much until I was an adult, you know. And that's where I grew up. That's what all my best friends are and all that. So, and basically, you know, just growing up how I grew up, you know, being around the people I was around a lot of older people. So they was listening to a lot of, you know, dope ass hip hop that I probably would have never got attached to or anything like that, or even heard at a younger age. 'Cause my brother was 10 years older than me. So when he's 13, I'm 3 years old. You know, or, you know, even 18 and 8, you know what I'm saying? The music I was able to hear, you know, normal kids wouldn't be able to hear that music.
I feel you also, you know, had an older friend, it was just 4 years of difference. But between being 13 and 17, he was an adult and age, he showed me so much.
Yeah, so, feel that. Just through them, you know, my older cousins and, you know, my brother and his friends and... I was able to just, hear stuff I probably would have never been able to hear. So, a lot of inspiration will definitely come from that. That's a lot of my music background and, you know, why I choose to do what I do and how I do my music and stuff like that. But my background is big, man. What else you want to know, bro? What else you want to know about my background?
Yeah, when you say we were moving around, who is we?
All right, so, my mom, my sister, my brother, my father sometimes, maybe once or twice, I don't know. But mainly my mom, my brother, my sister, most definitely was moving the most around. And then up until we moved to Cambridge, then it was just me and my sister and my mom. And then I don't know what the hell my brother did. He did some shit, but he ended up going to jail or some shit. So when he ended up going to jail, we was already moving. My mom was getting her life together. So, you know, we done moved up to where she could move on her own and take care of hers on her own without any help from my grandma, my aunties and shit like that. So, you know, that's why my mom was moving around a lot, because, you know, my mom was into a lot of shit and my pops was into a lot of shit as well. You know, that's just how it is in the 80s and shit, in the early 90s. Everybody know what that era's like. So, you know, we did a lot of that fucking...
I don't know. I'm born in 1990.
Yeah, all right, cool, man. So, fuck it, man. If you don't know, what the 80s is like, everybody knows that's the crack era. That's when crack, hit all, major cities in America. It was a big-ass epidemic, you know. I don't know who created it or who was the first person to cook up the crack, but whenever it hit hard, and it was cheap. You know, it was an easy product to get a hold of, it was just an easy way out for a lot of the struggles for a lot of people, man. So a lot of people was, you know, they shooting it up, they smoking it or whatever, however you take it, I don't know. But, you know, you look around or anybody was born in the 80s, from the city or anything like that, where I come from, you'll be you probably, you know, you could be probably or possibly, or you already know you come from crack background, your parents did crack or your parents sold crack, so you a crack baby in some fashion. You know what I'm saying? So when that shit hit, families got destroyed, bro. you know, people were spending their checks on that shit. They had to have it, like, you know, so I came up in that, bro, like I'm not going to tell you, like, who out of anyone was doing it, but, like, you know, I came up in that shit, bro, so, like, you know, that's why, like, I had moved around a lot because my family lived that life, bro, real talk. So as a kid, that was my lifestyle up until, like, 8, 9 years old, you know, and then my mom, like, switched it all up, like, dropped me off, like, at my auntie's house with my sister. God rest my auntie's soul, man. And, yeah, my mom went, left, came back, like, a year later and, like, picked us up. And we didn't even know what the fuck happened. That shit went by so fast, bro. But, yeah, man, my mom came back. Man, she was different. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just me and my sister. And then we got the fuck up out of there. And my mom took us. And then our life changed, like, after that a bit, you know?
You were still living in your auntie's house? And your mother also moved there? Or
Nah, my auntie wasn't there. My auntie was there. I live with my auntie's family, like, me and my sister moved to my auntie and my uncle's house, mm-hmm. you know, because they was probably, you know, the most qualified to take care of, you know, like, the children. Like, they were that, like, auntie and uncle, like, who had their shit together. Like, you know, my uncle was, you know, heavy in construction. He was the construction boss. Like, he built his house, you know, with fucking 50-foot driveways and pools in the back and barns and, like, places where you could drive four-wheelers. Like, he did that with his own hands. Like,
crazy.
You know, so he was really, like, he had it together. My auntie, you know, they had a lot of kids and stuff as well. Like, I had a cousin who was a little, like, probably, like, 5 or 6 years older than me. And they all lived there. And they had a big house and stuff. So, you know, they was qualified to take me and my sister in, like, to take care of us. My brother was older, so, you know, he was on his own. So it was just me and my sister.
All right.
My sister's like a year and a half older than I am. So we was close.
Was raised in that background. And then at a certain point, you moved to Frankfurt, or how did that work?
Nah, I didn't move to Frankfurt for a long time, man. Like, I'm here for what? Like 7.5 years. So, you know, I didn't move till like my early 20s to Frankfurt to come. And, I wouldn't say it would be even, you know, I came here on an opportunity, like, because I wanted to see something different and I wanted to spread, you know, my love for music in a different way and fashion. And I had an opportunity to play football in Frankfurt. So, you know, I used that opportunity, like, and I battled between coming to Frankfurt or if I was going to move to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, but, like, my boy was like, bro, like, people gonna love you, like, you know, it might be hard, like, you might have some, like, you know, some steps to take, like, you know, with the language barrier and this and that, like, but man, people gonna love you, like, you know, as soon as you come, you gonna come hard with it, like, you know, just be patient. So he was like, you gonna see things you never seen, you gonna travel places you probably would have never traveled, bro. So yeah, I ended up doing that, and then that's how I ended up out here. And then I just used the football shit to, you know, creeping in, meet the right people to do what I want to do.
Nice. Yeah. Are you still playing football?
Nah, not for long. Like 3, 4 years maybe? Like 4 years?
Why not?
I'll tell you the truth, man. Like the last, I did it for what, like 5 years? Yeah, so like the last 2 years, I really wasn't feeling it anymore. Like, I just wasn't feeling it anymore. Like, I just, like, the energy started to go. And then, like, my last year I was playing, and I, like, broke my leg and didn't even know it. And then, like,
what?
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, not like a major leg where you see the bone coming out the leg and this, that, and the shit. But, you know, I think it was the fibula was, like, cracked. Like, you know, and it was really painful and shit. And I didn't even know. And the people on the sideline didn't even know. And they was trying to throw me back in the game, bro. Like, and it was a big game, too. Like, you know, it was a really big game. And I'm like, nah, it's not right. I can't even jog on the sideline. This is incorrect. I was like, let me just wait till Monday, see how I feel. Monday came. They still trying to get me to play. And then I see the looks on their faces like there was a problem with it. So, yeah, that one was like, I was like, all right, man, fuck y'all, my leg is broken. Like, I didn't even know. I went to the doctor. The doctor's like, yo, your fucking leg is broken. I'm like, damn, my leg is broken? Shit. He's like, yeah, man, your leg is broken. Fuck. I'm like, I knew something was wrong. And then I was like, I was like, bro, fuck that, man. These people don't give a shit about me. And they don't know anything. There's not the proper people on the sideline to take care of my well-being. Like, sorry, but that's the sport. You need the right people on the sideline. Like, that's not no play game. Like, you know, and everybody know where I come from, you say, if you don't know how to play the game and you ain't playing at 100%, you're going to get hurt. Like, you're going to get hurt. So that's not one of those games that you play around. So I'm not going to be sitting out there like, you could hurt your neck. You could do a lot. You could, bust your whole knee out of, and they're trying to put you in the game and your ACL, PCL, MCL, and everything else in your knee is torn.
Idea what about those abbreviations, but
yeah, they just all the main shit up in your knee, man, that hold it together, and yeah, for sure. So I just said, nah, man, I'm done with that shit. I'm still young. I can still walk.
All right. But you did not just come to Frankfurt because of football. You also said you wanted to spread, like, your vibe and your music and your sense of fashion.
Yeah, for sure.
Like a parallel development.
Yeah, but I would say I just had a couple like roadblocks, man, that really just like just, you know, held me up. Like, so the football took off a lot faster, man. Like, you know, like, and I wasn't just, let me just say this for whoever, I wasn't just playing football. I was the best doing it. Like, in fucking Europe. So, and you could look at the stats and the years I played and you could see the proof, like, no games, no jokes, like, for real, I did it. Like, I did, I was the best on defense. Nobody has done it, I don't think, after me, period. So,
damn.
Like, period, no lie. And I didn't even care. I didn't even care. My best friend told me. Like, he told me that. But the football took off way faster. The music was really slow. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was really slow. So, like, the football was just easier, but I kept at it, you know? I kept at it with the music, so, yeah. I knew one point I was going to leave the football alone and really just try to focus, like, on music, you know? And I knew at one point I had to get rid of that image as well, you know, so people don't see me as, like, the football player trying to be a rapper, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm not, you know? I've been rapping before I was playing football. I've been a music person before I was an athlete, so... You know, it is what it is. I just happen to be blessed and doing something to take me in different places in life. So that's what I fucking did. I took advantage of it, you know.
Nice.
And hopefully music does the same one day.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
Like, did you learn something from the football era,
yeah,
let's
man.
Say, that you can,
yeah,
like,
man.
Take to
yeah,
your...
Yeah, football taught me a lot, man. Like, football taught me how to respect older people, man. Like, you know, I didn't... like, have older males in my life growing up too much, like, you know, to tell me what to do, like, you know, especially, like, after, like, 8 years old, whatever. I did, but I didn't, you know, but, you know, like, just having respect for those coaches, man, and, like, taught me how to just, you know what I'm saying, pay attention and, like, you know, really, if you want something, you know, you really got to work for it. It's not going to be given to you. Taught me how to be early. Taught me how to be punctual, you know what I'm saying?
Shout out,
like,
Coltrane.
Yeah, shout out to Coltrane. But it taught me a lot, man. Like, football taught me, like, more than education probably taught me, and, like, honestly, about life, you know, like, and I'd rather have those lessons all day, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, football did a lot, man, but, you know, Whatever else I was doing in my life, man, was teaching me as well. You know, that wasn't the only lessons I was getting. You know what I'm saying? So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess it was intense because it was an intense phase of your life and you were good, so you probably invested a lot of time and
yeah, man,
you learned a lot,
yeah, that's
in those
dope
processes.
That you said that, man. It's really dope that you said that, man. Bro, I invested from, I want to say, 14 and a half years old, 15, yeah, till like 27, till I was about 27, you know, and like from 14 and a half till 23 years old, like, You know what I'm saying? That was like 6 days a week. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was no joke. That was like everything else plus trying to be great at that, you know? Like, so, yeah, that's cool. You said I did invest a lot in it, man. Like, but, you know, that, like, me investing in that, like, in the, like, what I got out from what I put in, like, bro, I know that, like, if I put in, like, results are coming back, you know? And it taught me that, too, like, definitely, like, you know, like, so that time was worth it for me because, man, who knows? Who knows?
Perfect.
Who knows, bro? Who knows? For sure.
How do you feel about your time investment into your music career so far? How satisfied are you with the outcome?
Yeah, to be honest, man, like, I had, like, spurts, like, you know, like...
What are spurts?
Like, you know, times when it, like, I was, like, up. And then I had times when I was, like, you know, just cruising at an even level. You know what I'm saying? How I feel right now about my music, I feel like people are now starting to understand that I'm dope as fuck, you know, and that I do got it. I do have that it factor. You know what I'm saying? Like,
which factor?
The it factor. You know what I'm saying? Like, and to be honest, like, and I don't always think about this, but like, I would say over the last 2 months, like, you know, I really thought about it. Like, if my music, like, would have got to somebody ears earlier in my career, or, you know, or would have took off and like one song would have worked, you know what I'm saying? Like, will I have been as good or as prepared as I am now if that happens? You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, I feel like, whatever it is, like, if my music didn't get heard or, like, whatever the thing is, or if nobody knows who I am, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, if you know who I am now, like, yo, those steps were taken, and I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them. You know what I'm saying? I'm proud of the steps taken. Because I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable with everything I'm doing right now musically, from recording to how my voice sounds to, you know, my performances and how I believe in them, just everything, man. And I don't think nobody is really fucking with me right now on that level. And if you want it, you can come see it anywhere, performances, wherever I want, man. I really enjoy my music, man. And you know, I don't think in the beginning I was, you know, enjoying it as much. And I think that's in the music too. Like, and you can see it when I perform it too, you know. So, yeah, if you get a chance, come see me, man. You're going to see that too. So that'll be dope.
I saw you performing quite a couple of times already. And I can see that you enjoy it. Man. Like, it feels like you're in the right place on stage, let's say.
Yeah, man. Not even enjoying it, man. It's just like critiquing myself, bro. You know what I'm saying? And like, nobody's gonna critique me more than I critique me. So, you know, however you want to listen to my music, like, and however you think of it, I done thought of it already, you know, and I'm critiquing myself as well. Excuse me. So, you know, I critique myself so much, man, like, you know, and after that performance is done, like, and I get off that stage, like, I'm probably alone. Like, I try to go alone for a bit sometimes, like, just to think about it. Like, all right, cool. Like, next time, got it, you know? So, yeah, man, that's a performance dope, bro. But, like, a lot of people can't perform. Like, you know, a lot of people to me, like, they can't perform. Like, you know, like, not everybody is built for that, man. Like, you can make a dope record all you want. Like, you know, it's not hard nowadays. Like, honestly, not that hard, man. You could just do what the next guy did that did a hot song before and, like, make it sound similar. Like, I don't know. Like, and then put it, and somebody would probably like it if you do some fake clicks or something like that or fake streams. Like, it is what it is, you know? And that's but I see a lot of shit with people don't look natural. They don't look like that's what they do. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, like, you're confused. Like, the performance and, like, the persona that you're seeing is not matching.
Yeah, so it doesn't match. So, you know, you could, like, if you look at certain artists, like, you know, like, let's just say, man, when I watch Travis Scott, like, I believe Travis Scott. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, it's just like certain things you look for, like, when you look for performances and, like, when you listen to people's songs, like, you know, you want to believe something. Like, you want to believe something. Well, I do, at least. I don't know how you feel, but...
I also like that. Like, yeah. I also can listen to, like, just pop
don't you
music.
Wanna, yeah, don't you want to believe that artist, though? Like...
I think you can listen to music on different kind of levels.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, the most incredible thing is when everything comes together. But sometimes I'm not that... or I'm triggered by just music, which is more poppy, let's say,
yeah.
where I don't have like the need that everything fits.
Man, I like poppy music too, man. I like all of it. But you know, like, and that gets to my point again. Like when you ask me like how I feel about my music, like, you know, you just said like you want all aspects to come together. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like there's not too many artists where all aspects come together in the beginning. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's developed. You know, when you could look at any artist, you could look at Jay-Z, who, like, is the... He surpassed, in my eyes, you know, for me, like, he surpassed, like, the top two that I grew up with. You know, just because he's still doing it and he's still... If he put out a record tomorrow... Like, it'll probably be platinum, you know, and he's, I don't know, he's like 49. He's like 49, 50, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so to me, that's so dope. Like, but yeah, man. Yeah, man. Like, I'm just into to a lot of lyrical content as well. But I don't necessarily believe that is the what people necessarily are into nowadays.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, that also like links to what I said earlier, that there are different levels.
Yeah.
Because the first time I hear a song, I'm not like, oh, what is this person saying? How does this person look like? Does it match like where he's coming from? It's like, do I feel the vibe?
Yeah.
Can I vibe to it?
Yeah.
And yeah, I would say nowadays there's a lot of vibe-based music where you have like a very easy step into it, let's say.
All right, so... There's one artist who I'm a big fan of from this generation of music, you know, from mumble rap or whatever, trap music, whatever. And like you just said, like, it's vibey and it's catchy or whatever. Like, I would say, like, the person who does that the best for me, like, is Future. Like, for me. Like,
yeah.
You guys probably don't understand it. Like, a lot of people in Germany don't understand that shit. Like, I'll be honest, like, they might act like they do, but they don't understand that shit and they don't know how he's using it, you know? And probably, that's probably why, like, people don't like him, but, like, you know, do I sound like Future when I rap? No, hell no, you know? But a lot of people would, that vibey stuff that you like, you gonna hear it 15 songs in a row by a different person. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, did you go home and actually... create that, you know? Did you think of that shit, bro? Like, come on, man. But I'm into the vibey, catchy shit too. Like, and like you said, the poppy stuff. Like, you know, it. I think you should, like, you know, when you're an artist, you should be a fan of, like, just, you should give every genre a chance. Like, and I think, like, eventually you'll start to, as the artist, you'll start to appreciate. Not as the person and the individual, you know, and who you are and what your culture is or whatever it might be. But as an artist, you'll start to appreciate that genre and what they do with their music. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll be like, oh, shit. You know, like, ooh, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, like, but.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah, that's just, I think that's just how it is, man. Like, you gotta step out your comfort zone sometimes.
So I would like to jump back a little bit. So
yeah, go ahead.
When you started to do music,
yeah.
we were talking early on already. You recorded your first songs or even tape with just the iPhone.
That's not even the first time. That's not when I started doing music. Like, that's when I started doing music.
When did you start to invest time into making music?
Like, into making music? Like, seriously? Like, I wouldn't say I was serious. I think I was just like, yo, I could do it, you know? And I was just writing a lot of music, like, in a book. Like, but I had, like, an opportunity at, like, 8 years old to, like, join some, like, group to, like, fucking just stay out of trouble. And then, like...
When you were eight?
Yeah. And, like, I was dope, man. I don't give a shit. I was dope, bro. I was like Chris Brown before Chris Brown, man. Like... Yo,
give me some of that confidence.
Yo, I'm being serious, bro. I'm being serious, man. And like, if like anybody ever came out the woodwork, like, yo, I remember that kid back in the day used to dance and rap and sing on stage, bro. Like, that was like, I was like, yo, when I started doing that, I couldn't even write my lyrics yet. They wouldn't let me do it. But we used to get like encores, bro. I used to get called back on stage. Like, I used to be able to freestyle, do my own thing. So. They knew I had, like, some type of, like, whatever. But that was just that. And then it was over. And then, like, I was back to just writing in the book, mm-hmm. you know? And then, like, did a lot of talent shows.
How do those talent shows look like?
It's just, like, in a school, like, or, like, a camp that you go to, like, you know, in your summer camp or something. Like, they might have, like, two or three talent shows during
the... Is it, Deutschland sucht den Superstar, or...?
Nah, man. It's, like, the school talent shows,
yeah,
man.
But, like, the setting. So, you have
you're
jury.
Not gonna have, like, really no judges or anything like that. Like, I never... Like, I don't think I ever got judged in a talent show. Like, I think I just wanted to perform in the talent show. I think people sign up. And then the teachers run it. They call on the next act. They come up. They go
so
off.
Like five, six,
yeah, and
whatever
the whole school
people
is there
are
watching. You know, and the whole school or the whole camp is there, like joined in watching. Like it's like a party.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. So I just did like a lot of talent shows, and then one of the talent shows I did was a while ago, like when I was a kid in the camp. Man, I ended up going to school with this guy, and he ended up like getting recording equipment in his house. And then we put, like, a group together. And then, like, in high school, like, freshman year, like, we became serious with, like, music.
How old are you when it's freshman
13,
year?
14.
All right.
13, 14. And then we started getting, like, really serious and, like, just, like, passing out mixtapes and recording. Then we started battling with the other neighborhood, like, rap group and stuff. Like, it was crazy.
Writing diss songs
and
stuff?
Yo, we even got shot at by the older dudes, man. Like, yo, it was crazy. Like, it was so fun, though, man. I can remember that shit, man.
Like,
it was like one of the Wu-Tang episodes, man. That shit was crazy. It was so fun.
Everyone taking it as, like, a fun thing?
What,
or...
like a battle rap?
Yeah,
but... Like, yo, we fucking embarrassed them. Like, yo, I can remember, bro. Like, people was riding around every neighborhood, like, who had a car that we knew they was playing our shit, bro. That shit was so popular. Then they came out with another one, and they thought they was gonna be cool, like, but everybody was still stuck on our shit. Like, and then, like, I don't know what happened. They wanted a fight or something like that or whatever. And we, like, walked down to the neighborhood. It was, like, had to be, like, 30, 35 of us, like, 13, 14, 15, 16. It was crazy. It was like a movie, bro, for real.
Yeah, I'm seeing the music
and
video right now.
We walked down the street. My boy, David, man. We call him D-Co. Big dude, man. Bow legs. Like, best rapper I knew growing up. Like, real talk. He's right in the front with his fucking shirt off. And he's big. Like, he got shoulders like a grown man from prison. Like, he's a big dude, right? And next thing you know, it's like, and then everyone was like, oh, shit. And we turned around. We was gone. But that shit was fun, man. Like, that's when we was taking it serious. Like, you know,
that
I started taking...
That sounds scary to me. Sorry.
I think they just shot it in the air, man. Like, to be honest. Like, I think they was just shooting in the air. Like, they just wanted to, like, scare the kids away.
I'm not used to guns.
Yeah,
we
from the city, though, man.
We
from the city,
shooting
man.
Guns.
We were from the city, man.
Yeah, I guess.
We from the city, man. It's overemphasized... in a lot of movies, like, but it's not at the same time because certain areas really, you know, like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, but my city was not really like that, but like things like that could happen and would happen. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
nice.
I wasn't like selling drugs and shit like that growing up and shit. Like, so I'm not gonna glorify that.
I get it. When was the point of time where you said like, okay, now I'm actually making songs?
The point in time when I said actually, like, all right, so I feel like my boys was dissing me, right? I was in college, like, I was playing, like, college football and shit like that, and, like, they was at home, like, they was recording and stuff, like, and they was better than me, like, I'm not gonna lie and say they wasn't, but, like, I could make a song, like, and I don't know, like, I was good. Like, there was something about me that people liked, like, you know? And they started dissing me, and then, like, I left school, I was gonna go to another school, and then I got a MacBook, and I went to New York. I switched schools. I went to New York. And then, like, we used to come out of practice and we used to just freestyle. And then, like, I hopped in on a freestyle, like, you know, with the dudes from New York. I was the only dude from Boston, too. So it was really dope. And then I started rapping, like, and I went in freestyling. And then the dudes was like, yo, you serious? I was like, yeah. They was like, bro, you're dope. You don't record nothing? I was like, nah, I don't have no money for a studio, and I don't know nobody who has a studio here. They're like, you got a laptop? I'm like, yeah, I got a laptop, bro. I got a laptop. They're like, what kind? I'm like, a MacBook. They're like, what? You got a MacBook? I'm like, yeah, I got a MacBook, bro. Came with the printer. So I told them. Right? And then it was like, yo, you got GarageBand on your MacBook? I was like, yeah, man. They're like, yo, you could record on that. I was like, bro, I've been trying to record on, I don't have no idea. It's like, bro, you could put the track on there and record on there. I was like, all right, but I don't have no microphone. They're like, yo, you can use your head. You got headphones? I'm like, yeah. So I start, like, I think the next night or the next day, like, after class or something, I went in there and I recorded, like, my first song. And then after that, it was over. I recorded, like, I don't know how many songs on that MacBook. Like, 50 plus, 70, I want to say 70 plus songs on that MacBook. And then I just came out with a mixtape called Support My Preview. And then I put it out on the website That Piff, which was popping, and I got it sponsored, so that was even more popping. So everybody was like, "Oh shit!" Then I got, like, I don't know, like 1,000 downloads, and it looked like a lot, because 1,000 looked like a lot from somebody like me who really wasn't shit, you know. And then I shot a couple videos and shit, and then
what was the name of the tape?
Support My Preview.
Okay, I don't have that on my list. Yeah, I think the first one is Ice Coffee and Blunts.
Yeah, cool, man. All right. So, yeah, go ahead. You want to the next question?
What was the name of the tape again that you were talking about?
All right, Support My Preview. All right, so Ice Coffee and Blunts is the spinoff of Support My Preview. So it's still Support My Preview if you look at the cover of Ice Coffee and Blunts.
All right.
But it says Ice Coffee and Blunts Edition.
All right.
But I just really emphasized the Ice Coffee and Blunts because everybody was like, bro, that's so catchy. Like, you know, you got to run with it heavy, you know? So, yeah, and then it was Ice Coffee and Blunts after that.
Was Ice Coffee and Blunts already, like, put out in Germany, or was it still
I did all of that. I did all that at home. Like, I was living in New York when I did the Support My Preview. And then I came home. I was finished with school. And then I did, like, my boy had a studio, and then my other boy had another studio in his house. So I didn't have to record on my computer anymore. So I went to my boy's house, who had the studio at his house. I recorded there. Then I took, I can't even think of the name right now, the hard drive, to my boy's studio, and we did all the mixing, and we created the mixtape at his spot. We did all the drops, we did all the skits, we did everything on there. We did that together. I got all the skits. I did everything. Like, it was all my setup. I created the whole shit. My boy just made it happen, for sure. But, yeah, the Ice Coffee and Blunts, man, is a classic. If you haven't heard Ice Coffee and Blunts, y'all should go hear Ice Coffee and Blunts, man. Seriously. That got me. Doing Ice Coffee and Blunts, like, that mixtape, like, got me understanding what kind of music and what way I wanted to go with my music.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so Ice Coffee and Blunts is like, it's like a milestone to me, because, like, it helped me, like, design who I, like, that was me starting to be Peter Man's an artist. I even changed my name. Before that, I had a different name, and I even changed my name on Ice Coffee and Blunts.
Lil Pete?
Hell no. Got it.
Big Pete?
Big Pete. Yeah. Nah, man, I was the mellow kid. I was the mellow kid for years, man. I used to just be mellow, and then my boys just called me mellow, the mellow kid all the time on the records. So I just stuck with me. So, and then I just went. Oh, I was just like, I'm gonna change my name. I was just like, I'm gonna do it on this iced coffee and blunts joint, and I'm introduced like different. Like it says the mellow kid, and then it says AKA Peter Manz. So you kind of like first get introduced to Peter Manz as the artist name on that too. And then the next after that, I was done with the Mellow Kid and I was just Peter Manz after that.
So the change of your name is related to you figuring out where you wanted to develop.
Yeah, I guess it was just like being myself, of course, like that was the big thing about it. It was just like, I don't want to be like no character, like, and to be honest, like, you know, nobody believes my real name is what it is anyways. You know what I'm saying? Like, just be honest. Yeah, man, I get that all the time, bro. I'm sorry. Bro, I had people just calling me Peter Manz without knowing my last name was Manz, bro. It's crazy. Like, people from, like, Mississippi and Alabama, man. I used to go to Kent. They're like, Peter Manz, Peter Manz, Peter Manz, Peter Manz. I'm like, bro, how you know my last name? They're like, that's your last name? Like, and then, like, a lot of people, like, ask me now. Like, but, yeah, Peter Manz is my real name.
So that's how you get
addressed? But it means a lot. I use it for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, I use my real name for a reason, like, you know, and I feel like people should know why I use my real name as a reason, you know? My father's name is also Peter Manz as well. I'm a junior where I come from. You know, we call junior. When you're the second, you be called Peter Manz Junior, of course. So... yeah, like, I had a girlfriend, like, in college, right? And her fucking roommate was working in the courthouse. And for some reason, her girlfriend wanted to look my name up in the police system. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay. And then she's like, yo, my girl called me. She called me right away, like, yo, you got to let go of Peter right now. Like, right now. And then she's like, why? She's like... yo, because his name is in here for, like, you know, like...
shit.
Like more than, like, you know, just a lot of shit in the system. And then she's like, what? She's like, what years is that? Like, what years is that? What are you looking at? And then she's like, oh, nah, that can't be him.
False alarm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's my pop's name, too, man. And, like, you know, my pop's got into a lot of shit. He's a, you know what I'm saying? He's a street legend where I come from, you know what I'm saying? Like, but, you know, I want my name to be remembered for other shit, you know, other than the bad that someone might see in the system and stuff like that, so.
What do you want your name to be remembered for?
I don't know, man. Like, I'm not a fearful person, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I done changed my life, bro. You know what I'm saying? I stick with something. Like, you know, once I'm in, I'm in. You know, and once I love somebody and I got love for you, like, you know, I'm riding for you the rest of my life, man. I'm very loyal. You know, I'm real. I'm very blunt. I don't shy away from the truth. And, you know, if you're not comfortable around me, like, you know what I'm saying? Honestly, I don't even want you around me. Like, that's, like, you know, me. In a nutshell, but if we around and we kick it, like, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, we kick it, like, you know, we kick it, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah, like, I just want to be remembered for somebody who just, you know what I'm saying? Like, being positive, like, you know, I don't give up, man. You know, and, you know, I want my legend to continue to grow. I want to continue to grow as a person, man, and somebody who's going to continue to learn, somebody who's going to continue to try to progress, man. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's big, bro.
I like that. Yeah. Also, the being yourself, and then, like, if people don't vibe with you, it's like a natural selection kind of thing. Like, some people get left behind, but it's for the good for both sides.
Yeah, I would say so, man. Because
even if it hurts, maybe.
Yeah.
Because you leave something.
Yeah, I would say so, man. Like, because, like, if you honestly, if you can't, like, be yourself around people, like that vibe is off, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, and even the other side's gonna feel it, you know? And like, I like to be my loud, fucking obnoxious, disrespectful self. I like to be me. I like to talk shit, like, you know? And if you're uncomfortable, then like, you're uncomfortable, you know what I'm saying? But if you're like, Peter, shut the fuck up, bro. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you get it, like, cool. Like, you know, and like, you know, and that just goes, like, you know, with the selection of people or whoever I'm around, bro, like, you know, it just is what it is. It's okay. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I could live with it. I could live with it. I think I made a lot of friends in my life. I think I met a lot of great people and will continue to make a lot of friends and meet a lot of great people. I just think, you know, the fake and the people who shouldn't be around me will get weeded out by itself. You know, it'll start to show on its own, and I'm cool with it. Ain't no hate on my side or no bad vibes or anything like that. But you know what I'm saying? Just know, like, I'm not the type of person to be sitting around a group of people that I don't want to be around, you know, at the end of the day.
Nice.
You know.
Do you feel like there were times in your life where you did that?
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure, man. Yo, just being in a different country, man, and being around different people, like, you learn a lot about yourself, period. Like, and, you know, I'm always going to be different around a group of people that don't come from the same culture that I come from. You know what I'm saying? Like, period. Like, and it just is what it is. Like, I'm, like, I think I say that to, like, a lot of people that are close to me. Like, you know, like, either, like, you know, you get to that point where it's like, man, we understand each other. Like, you know, or it's like, you know, or I get around, like, and I'm trying to understand you, like, and I'm trying to be around you, but then it's just like, I've been around that a lot. I've been around that a lot, you know? I've been around a lot of times, like, you know, just being down and out, bro, in a country, like, where you got no family, you know, you got no education in this country, like, you don't speak the language and stuff like that, you know? I used to go around, like, my friends be like, hey, you want to come over here and hang out? I'm like, nah, I don't, because, like, you know, you guys look like you're happy and you got your life together, and I'm over here struggling in this damn country just trying to move forward, bro, trying to do everything right. So I wasn't even going around that people at that time in my life when I'm, like, just struggling to get ahead a bit, you know? But yeah, I've done that. I've done that. And that's why I'm telling you, it's not comfortable. It's whack, man.
You're speaking from experience.
Yeah, it's whack, man. It's whack. So, you know, experiences will teach you everything, bro. Like,
nice.
Everything.
Yeah. Like, did music help you to, like, find your place in Frankfurt?
Did the music help me find my place in Frankfurt?
Or, like, I'm saying that you found your space. I'm not even sure if that's true.
Did I find my place? Like, I'm to be honest, man, I'm good. I'm good in Frankfurt, man. I'm good. I'm good wherever I go. I'm okay, man. I'm happy with the people. I get along with the people. I understand all different walks of life. So, did I find my place? Yeah. You want to know why? Because I understand the culture a lot better now. You know, and that is very, very important, because I did it in the beginning. And that was an uncomfortable factor as well. You know what I'm saying? So am I good? Yeah, definitely. You know what I'm saying? Like, definitely. Yeah, man, music, what? Yeah, hell yeah. Music is, you know, got me around all the people I wanted to be around, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. Like, I got brothers for life in this shit now. You know what I'm saying? Like, and who I hang around, like, are usually, you know, people who come from some type of the same walks of life. And we might not have the same cultural background, but, you know, music definitely keeps us connected and helps us understand each other to where we are comfortable around each other and we can be ourselves around each other. So, hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Definitely, man. For sure. Yeah,
that's a blessing.
Yeah, for sure, bro.
Like, so, how did you actually, like, got into music, making music in Frankfurt? Like, was it with a homegrown?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't, man. It was with Scared of Flight. It was with Scared of Flight, man. I did an EP with, name was Danny Downer at the time, which is, Lucas Rimbach, who's a really good friend of ours still, and part of the team, and we do a lot with him, and I love this guy. We're going to have a session on his TV soon. I was on the train. I was with my best friend who got me here, and we lived over here, actually, right down the street in Riedewald. Mm-hmm. At Scheffelstrasse was the station. And this dude was on the train, and like me and my boy was just talking. And the dude was like, bro, you make music? And then my boy was like, yep, he make music. Yo, he's one of the dopest rappers I know. You want to hear him spit something? Yo, P, spit something. This is my boy, man. Spit. Shout out to Feedy, right? So I'm like, yeah, I spit. Like, what's up, man? He's like, yo, you want to come to the studio with me tomorrow? I'm going to do a track with one of these guys and the producer. And I say, yeah, dope. I was like, I got football practice, though, so I don't have a lot of time. So we walked right down the street to this studio. We're sitting in right here about 7.5 years ago. I spit my shit in like 15 minutes. Like, everything done, walked out. Next thing you know, the dude who was in here working and making the beats gets my information, asks me if I want to do an EP. So that's how that music thing started here in nice. Germany. Yeah.
And
but how, that was the homegrown was like the fourth project, I think, here that I did in Germany. So it was like Scared of Flight. Then I met Usta.
How did that happen?
Well, that happened Usta? Actually through Danny Downer. I'm going to keep calling him that because I love that name. That happened through Danny Downer. There was this guy sitting in the basement. I don't know. Yo, you're in here, Uli. What was you doing, bro? Was you mixing beats or was you making beats when you was in this basement and I came down there, bro?
I was mixing beats.
You was mixing beats. Yeah, yeah, all right, cool. So he was mixing beats in his basement. I don't know what I came down for either. I think he was there, and then I think Meezy was there too. Or that was a different time. I can't remember. And then, I heard him playing his beats or whatever, like, and I was like, just remembered. Then, like, I had took a break from the music because, like, I had just had a kid, man, and, like, that shit was a lot, bro. Like, that was, like, my first kid, and I'm by myself, so I had a lot going on, bro. Like, for real. So, but then I was like, yo, my fucking baby mother, I had a album. I had the Scared of Flight album that I had to pay for, you know what I'm saying? So, like, Danny was at me for the money. I was like, bro, I'm going to give it to you, man. Let me just... like, take care of some business, like, you know, let me just get my shit in order, you know? He's like, all right. So, like, I had a birthday, and then, like, she went and she bought that shit, like, you know? And so I think I was down there listening to the mixes or whatever. And so after that, I came to the studio again, like, months later to record some tracks, and then he was like, man, I'm selling the studio or something. He said something, but I'm gonna give you the connect to the guy who's gonna have it, and da-da-da-da. I said, all right, bet. So, gave me the connect. I hit up Usta, came in here, laid out my track. It was like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, in like 10, 15 seconds, went out there to smoke. I think I came back in, and then he was like, yo, we're going to do this thing, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you down? And I was like, yeah, son, let's do it.
Nice.
I was like, let's do it.
And Uya was born.
And that's what I have. The Usta was born that day,
oh,
man.
Oh, shit.
That when the Usta was born, man. Trying to tell you, but yeah, that's how that happened.
Damn.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
But now we're at the Under Gods period of time, and is it the first time that you work with one exclusive producer?
Nah. This is the produced? First time. This is the first time you're gonna hear me working with one exclusive producer, but. I've worked with Mighty Markson exclusively, so that will come out as well. But this will be the first project that I worked with exclusively, but with a producer. But you know, it's a group, man. Me and Coltrane, like, you know, we like just put together this dope ass boom bapish hip hop raw fucking rap producer MC duo, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because we just knew we was fire together. His beats matched me. He wanted me on his beat, so it all was a match. And we just created this shit, man. And we call that shit the Under Gods with A-W-D-S, not O-D-S. You know what I'm saying? So everybody don't get it confused. We're not calling ourselves like God himself. You know what I'm saying? We're just saying that we walk in a different light. So we just wanted to put that down with the music and then also use the under as in like underachievers, you know what I'm saying? Under everything, you know, as far as that goes. So, yeah, when you hear like, oh, shit, you know what it's about, God MCs and stuff like that. So I'm a God MC and co-trainer, God producer. And that's why we the Undergods.
Like, I was wondering how you actually work together because I know you and I know Coltrane and you are both very energetic guys and guys who need their space.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if he was just sending you beats or if you were actually sitting there together and crafting music together.
Yeah, what I like to do, you know, I'm a heavy fan of digging, you know. And that's what I did with Coltrane. I was digging, man. I was digging beats. Like beats that was not heard from him. Beats that were not appreciated as far as like what you could see on stats and stuff like that. So I was digging. And he also gave me some beats as well. There's some exclusives on there. But I found a lot of those beats digging. And, you know, if you talk to Coltrane, man, he'll tell you, like, that's why he has so much respect for me, because I know what the fuck I'm doing when I'm listening to, like, beats and stuff like that. But that was our work process. And I like to work on my own. Like, he really don't have to be there for me to write and stuff like that. I come up with the whole concept of the song and, like, the what it's based on and like how it's going, you know, go as far as that goes. He works, you know, his magic on his beat. He might go in there and do some, you know, different things going on and switching up some drops and everything. And then you got the Uli who does a lot of arrangements and he does the mixes and makes it sound like it's supposed to sound. And that's how that is all. So Uli kind of like an under God too. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
Yeah, Uli like an under God too. He part of the group too, man. Everybody nice. Who do work with us is an under God, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not like me and Coltrane. Like, so, but on this, we just wanted to showcase the MC and the producer. But, you know, we already got ideas for the next one. And we're going to, you know, really do a lot of including.
Nice. How do you think well, this project will position you in like the whole hip hop scene.
Yeah,
everything,
man.
That is going on right now in Frankfurt.
Yo, I don't know. It's kind of, man, like if you a hip hop head, like, and you like, you know, I hate when people say like I got an old school flow, bro. My flow ain't old school, man. The beats might sound like boom bapish old school, but I'm not an old school rapper. What I'm talking about ain't old school. Like, my lingo ain't old school. Like, my flows ain't old school. I know what I'm doing on a boom bap beat that a lot of rappers can't do in this era. Period. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like with this, I did what I was supposed to do. Like, I feel like I created a classic. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you know, like, Illmatic wasn't a classic when it first came out. You know what I'm saying? Like, Under God's possibly, you know, might not be, but I feel like hip-hop people and people from the culture and just the people that I talk to, these people are itching to hear it. They're waiting for it. And I feel like this is going to put me in a position, respectfully, that people like, yo, we need to have him on our shit and we need to stop overlooking what this guy's been doing in our city for the last 4 years. Because I represent the culture. Not only that, I'm representing the city too. I love Frankfurt, man. Everybody know I love Frankfurt, man. Shout out to Nordweststadt, man. That's my stomping grounds. Nice. For real. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love Nordweststadt, man. I love the people. I love the boys over there, man. That's where my son's being raised. So, you know, I'm a Frankfurt head. Like, it's my second home. So I'm out here representing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I might not be, you know, rapping in German and stuff like that because, man, I'm not German. You know what I'm saying? And, like, honestly, if I could talk that shit, I would talk that shit, like, because I do it dope as fuck, too, like, you know? But what I do is, you know, is in English and, like, you know, I represent the culture, too, out here in Frankfurt, man. So just know that. That's how I feel. Like, y'all got a dope-ass American spitting U.S. Boston accent fucking having MC living the life that y'all live too right here, but just speaking it in a different language because my experiences are coming from the fucking city too. You know what I'm saying? What I talk comes from my experiences being around the people I'm around and fucking living the lifestyle I live here too, man. You know what I'm saying? I love riding my fucking bike, man. And that's a, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Beautiful.
Like, I love riding my bike up to the kiosk, bro.
Beautiful.
Getting me a beer and shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
bro, that wraps it up beautifully. Yeah, do you have something more to add? Something on your heart? Some shout outs?
Nah, man. Yeah, I guess some shout outs, man. Shout out to the whole Oyo crew, man. You already know. Anybody out there repping that shit, man. Shout out to Coltrane. Shout out to the Sisho Zart. I'm never going to get it right, but I'm going to do it right. Shout out to their crew, too. They holding us down, too. Shout out to the whole Cambridge, the whole Boston. If you guys ever get to listen, shout out to the whole Frankfurt, man. Under God's coming real soon, man. So like December or something like that. It's gonna be fucking fire, man. Just looking wait forward. For that shit, man. It's like, yo, it's not even like song for song. We created a fucking I don't even know what to call it. I'm gonna come up with the name real soon, but
let the people listen to
it. Yeah, we create y'all can say what it is, but like, we didn't create, like, just your regular shit, man. We created something a lot more, man. So I hope y'all pay attention to the art, like, and what we did, too, because it's really special.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, brother.
Thank you.
Yasha, for my guy. What's that motherfucking
I really podcast,
Broody? Podcast
Broody. Vielen lieben Dank fürs Einschalten, meine Lieben. Ich hoffe, euch hat die aktuelle Folge Podcast Broody gefallen. Jeden ersten Sonntag im Monat gibt's eine neue. Wenn ihr mir bei der Gestaltung des Podcasts helfen oder mit mir connecten wollt, dann folgt mir am besten auf Insta. Da findet ihr mich unter yoscha069. Ich freue mich, wenn ihr das nächste Mal wieder reinhört. Bleibt sauber und gesund, lasst euch nicht anquatschen. Herz allerliebst, euer Joscha.
Podcast Brudi.